Podcasting is a complicated profession, and that's why we're here to discuss The Bad Batch, currently airing on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my compatriot and fellow freedom fighter, Tony Sindelar. Hi, Tony.
You know, Sindelar is almost a Twi'lek last name.
Oh, that's true. So, ooh. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have the teeth for it.
But
I do have the head tails.
Yeah, I was gonna say, your head tails are magnificent, though.
Yes.
We're here to discuss the most recent episode of The Bad Batch, Season 1, Episode 12, Rescue on Ryloth, which picks up basically right after the events of last week's episode, and Tony's going to walk us through it, and then we'll talk about it.
All right, here is my recap. So, picking up on the events of the previous episode, Cham Syndulla, freedom fighter, revolutionary, father to future important Star Wars character Hera Syndulla, is in jail and is being berated by Admiral Rampart in kind of a thing that basically felt like this is here, in case you didn't remember what happened last episode. Otherwise, Admiral Rampart's just a real big jerk.
Also, both can be true, Tony.
Clone trooper Hauser is walking around, who has worked with Syndulla before. It is a bit dubious about Rampart's various orders as part of the Imperial conquest? Control? Occupation of Ryloth? There are the basically dual missions of we need to find Hera Syndulla, and we also need to root out the various insurgents, revolutionaries, or dissidents on Ryloth. So we have kind of the double-fanged operatives of Hauser and Crosshair out there causing trouble. Hera sends Omega a classic "You're My Only Hope" hologram message, thus pulling Omega and the Bad Batch into the fray. The Bad Batch meets with Hera, who pleads with them to rescue her parents. They go on a scouting expedition to a very dystopian scene where Admiral Rampart is addressing a huge group of Twi'leks while the Twi'leks are surrounded by like attack droids and various military installations. The Bad Batch gets spotted by a probe droid. Hunter does a nice spectacle of taking down the probe droid, but it's still transmitted. So the Bad Batch knows that Crosshair is on Ryloth, but Crosshair knows that that the Bad Batch is on Ryloth as well. So it's a game of cat and also cat in terms of who is going to hunt down who first. Hera and Omega make a plan to rescue Omega's parents. They don't share the plan with the viewers, per se. We see Chopper. We get a lot of Chopper action this episode. The plan is starts out very Chopper-based, where Chopper infiltrates a group of Twi'leks being taken to some kind of work facility. stuns a droid, tries to take over some autocannons, gets spotted by guards. Hera and Omega have to hijack a shuttle. Perhaps this is the first place where Hera is learning how to fly a shuttle, as a prelude to later in Star Wars Rebels, where she'll be very good at flying shuttles. They blow up a thing that Chopper was supposed to deactivate. Chopper stuns some people, and they rescue Chop. They've taken out the cannon so that the Bad Batch group in the shuttle can approach. There's also people scaling an installation. Crosshair realizes all these explosions must be a diversion, holds his squad back while all the other clone troopers are being sent from the capital to the refinery. The Bad Batch rescues Cham Syndulla and the other Twi'leks with him and are on their way to escape the capital when Hauser shows up and warns the Bad Batch and Cham that they're about to fall into a trap. Basically, Hauser's squad and Crosshair have like set up a huge set of clone troopers with a sniper position to murder them as soon as they pop out of the building they're in, and gives them information about another shuttle that they could head to. They're not sure if they can trust Hauser, but they go along with it. Hauser walks into the trap, gives a motivational speech about, are we here to protect Ryloth or occupy it? Several of his clone troopers kind of join in with him in throwing down their weapons, and I sure thought they were going to get shot for it, but Crosshair orders them all captured. The Bad Batch and the Syndullas get away on their shuttle, and Admiral Rampart is not happy about how things are, and basically lets Crosshair off the leash in terms of, Crosshair, your only job is to hunt down the Bad Batch. Dun, dun, dun.
Let me ask you this question. First of all, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in this episode, but let me ask you a question about that last shot. How did you read that last shot of Crosshair?
in terms of
what did you think he was going on in his head? Because I thought it was an interesting, the camera kind of lingers on him. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think he looks conflicted. I don't know. It's just a weird, it's a vibe I get. Like, he doesn't seem like I'm super gung-ho about this. He's got like a kind of conflicted look on his face, I thought.
I guess I didn't read it that way. Okay. I read it as he is looking forward to settling the score. Okay. I don't know. I think that this episode raises a lot of questions about what the programming of the chip makes you do and think versus what it doesn't. And to me, there's that still that big question is like, is Crosshair evil because he has a chip, or is Crosshair evil and happens to have a chip in his head? You know, Hauser engages in behavior that seems like it should go against what the chip wants you to do. And several of his unnamed compatriots go along with him. Though it seemed like most of the clones were being good soldiers and following orders. So, I wasn't sure. I guess I saw that a little bit more, the look of pain. I think is this the first time we've seen kind of close-up on Crosshair since he was in that blast, and now he has these, like, horrible scars on the top of his head.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of that last week, too, in some of the shots. But yeah, he's definitely got some injuries sustained from that. I think the nature of the chip is interesting. Part of me wonders, like, we don't really know the mechanism, and I don't want to get down into the weeds, but, like, you know, does it have to be invoked, right? Like, is it something that has to be, like, triggered? Is it always operational? Like, once Order 66 has been invoked, like, it's just permanent? I mean, it certainly doesn't seem that way. Hauser has, you know, he makes a decision that is not, clearly not what most of the clones are doing, right? Like, it's... Mm-hmm. He's going against the grain. He has, you know, free will, it seems, certainly.
Yeah. I'm willing to believe that the chip basically made you do something, you know, execute Order 66. Maybe not think about it. Maybe repress your memories of it.
Right.
And then kind of you're back to normal. And that most clones, as a benefit of just their kind of conditioning / brainwashing, are loyal and follow orders and don't think about it. And it seems like perhaps it's your seasoned clones who have seen and have lived experiences that are a problem, right? You know, so Hauser is literally like seeing the Imperial give their evil speech in, you know, through the, and he sees the holes in the conspiracy, right? I was there.
Right.
I see that Cham Syndulla did not shoot the person that you're saying he shot. So
Exactly. He's not just taking Rampart's word for it and being like, yep, all right, good soldiers follow orders. That's what I saw.
I was waiting for him to do, I mean, I guess how treasonous was he or not? I was kind of wondering, is he going to get them out? Is he, you know, I was prepared for him to do something, I guess, more action-y. Though giving a speech in front of a bunch of clones and getting arrested for it is a different kind of action. It's strange. What does that mean?
Where do we go from there? Because like there's a shot too of Hunter looking back at him as Hauser is preparing to walk out, and you have this moment of being like, well, I mean, you know, as much as Clone Force 99 has separated itself from the rest of the clone army, they do still clearly think of them as like their brothers, right? So is this a moment where he's like, well, should I help him? Should I tell him about the chip? Should I try to convince him to come with us? Like, I there's a lot to read into it. Like, Hunter doesn't even have his helmet off in that scene, but like, you know, he pauses. There's a hesitation.
And Hauser is interesting. I mean, a new clone, which is always surprising because there's a lot of clones already out there that they could have recycled. I picked up on he's wearing ARC Trooper armor, which is the like elite special forces of the clone. So he has seen a lot, whereas it seems almost everyone else out there is just wearing the like generic white armor, right?
Yeah, he's a captain too, right? So he's you know, on a par with Rex in terms of like somebody who has been given some degree of authority over clones, right? And they never really explain like why are some clones promoted, you know, and like in charge? Like, do they have different programming? Like, are they have more of a strategic programming, or is it just like once they're sort of churned out, it is kind of like, you know, evolutionary nature or whatever, where it's just like some of them are better than others at things, or some of them survive longer or what? It's never really explained. Mm-hmm. So we don't know enough about what distinguishes the higher ranked clones from sort of the run of the mill clones to explain why they are treated differently or act differently or what have you. So,
and we had a couple lines of dialogue from Crosshair's group, who you are mainly notable as not voiced by Dee Bradley Baker. They didn't do anything super exciting in this episode, but they're still there. So Crosshair has his group of conscripts versus
non-clones.
Yeah. So, but it does seem like there's, you know, your generic clone. I mean, I start to wonder, you know, as we've now, it's probably a couple months after the Clone Wars have ended, or at least a couple weeks in Bad Batch world. We have a lot of these clones running around in white armor, and it's like, did those clones even fight in the war, right? Like, were they just the last group turned out? And so that their kind of view of the world is perhaps extremely simple compared to...
Right, and even among those, there may be
strations. For 5 years. Yeah.
Because, like, maybe some of the ones that listen to Hauser's speech and throw down their weapons are people who, you know, were serving there before the end of the war, and we're like, yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah, well, this does not make any sense, right? We're here to protect these people from the trade syndicate, and now we are walking around, like, enforcing law and order and marching siege engines down their street. Like, what's going on?
And the Bad Batch has that same moment, too, right, where they're looking at the military force there and being like, this is an occupation. And they're like, well, this isn't a separatist planet. And they're like, yeah, exactly. Like, think about it, man.
Think about it.
Yeah. I think this is also plays into a larger point here, right? We're seeing the formation of, you know, the lowercase r rebellion at this point, and we've seen a bunch of other little cells of that. It seems to me it's also a matter of this colliding potentially with the Bad Batch themselves in terms of how they view themselves and where they see their part in this whole thing, because Hunter again tries to pull sort of a I'm just looking out for my family, essentially, move at the end here. And I think Eleni Syndulla says essentially, like, it's going to be their fight sooner or later, right? Like, you know, you're going to have to choose a side, which we heard a lot in this episode, too, in terms of, like, Champ Syndulla talking to Hauser at various points about, like, choosing sides. And part of me thinks that this is a moment where maybe the Bad Batch, or at least Hunter's opinion, starts to shift from we're just, like, you know, going by to get it by, you know, to maybe we have a more active part to play in this somehow. He, like, I think in the terms of, like, Omega convinces him to get into this mission and, like, you know, points out to him that soldiers stand up for people, you know, who are in trouble. And all of this stuff, I think, is going a long way to potentially shifting. He doesn't take the money at the end, right, when they did offer to pay him. Like,
you guys need money. Champ Syndulla, I guess, needs money, too. But
right, but he makes a point of saying you're going to need it more, right? So, like, that's not... They're not just mercenaries at this point.
No.
Because if they were, they would have just taken the money. But it's unclear to perhaps even them what is their identity right now, right? Like, how deeply invested are they in whatever conflict is coming? And I don't think it's possible for them to stay out of whatever burgeoning galactic civil war. I think that's too large a conflict for them to avoid entirely. So that will be also interesting in how that develops.
It is. I do struggle a little bit with, reconciling in my head the timeline between this stuff, the Bad Batch right after Clone Wars, and then jumping forward, you know, 15, 20 years to Star Wars Rebels, Rogue One, and even A New Hope, where it's like, I don't know, it's hard. There's not as big an arc there as it feels like perhaps there should be in that amount of time. But I guess it's a big galaxy, and so maybe the Empire has to work kind of system by system to lock things down. Because, like, in some ways, the place that Ryloth is in this episode does not feel that different from, like, I don't know where Lothal is at the start of Star Wars Rebels.
Right. Yeah. It's true. There's like a lot of, is there a lot of period where stuff doesn't change very much and then stuff rapidly changes, or is it just really like localized, right? Like, you know, we know there's a cell system by the time Rebels and Rogue One rolls around.
Sure.
But I mean, certainly by Rogue One, the Rebellion is very, / A New Hope, the Rebellion is extremely well organized. They have a little fleet. They've got lots of soldiers, etc. At this point, it's just like there's a handful of people all around the galaxy who are like dissatisfied with the way things are going.
And you do get, I feel like, a message in Bad Batch is everyone is oblivious to things happening on other planets, right?
Right.
And maybe, like, I don't know, maybe the Empire totally controls free speech, right? And so there's no, you know, there's no interplanetary bulletin boards where people are talking about how bad things are. I thought it was significant that Hunter, you know, tells Cham as he's departing, like, we are seeing things like this elsewhere. It's not just Ryloth. And the Bad Batch have seen it across different contexts now, which is weird, right? We've seen it on Republic worlds. We've seen it on Trade Federation worlds. It's like, yes, they are kind of like, it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense if you're the Empire and it's like, we're locking everything down and are going to control, I don't know, the natural resources and, you know, suppress the people. And chain codes are mentioned again in this episode, track everything. Yep. It doesn't make sense from what is the, it doesn't make sense to the people living that experience in terms of like, aren't there ideals? Like, aren't there sides? And the answer is right. No, the Empire controls everything. And the only ideal is power. Suppressing yours.
Well, we've also established Rampart basically once again as sort of a he seems to have he's like an up and comer, right? Like, he seems to be trying to make a name for himself in terms of being like the foil, and he seems to be all over all these worlds, right? Like, we've seen him here and there, and like, he's doing his thing and making his pitch for the Empire, and sometimes more effectively than others. I thought it was really funny in this episode that he has a scene where he stands out there and is like, "Your beloved senator has been shot." Mm. Just remember, nobody liked that guy. Literally, all of them like booed him when he was showed up last episode.
I thought that was a great propaganda Imperial moment, because he literally even tells, like, there's his first statement is telling them how they feel. Right, it's like, you are upset because of it. It's like he's like programming them. We don't see the senator who we
said to be making a recovery.
Yeah, said to be making a recovery from being shot in the head. In the head. I think there's some continuity things. I mean, not that they probably, you know, they planned their stuff, but it's like, I guess he appears later in a book or a comic or something, so he can't be dead, but they sure wanted him. I mean,
he's mostly dead.
Mostly dead. He gets better, so that continuity is
still
preserved.
Partly alive.
But we don't even see him in this episode, so he has no, you know, he's not giving a speech from the hospital or anything. So, yeah.
I enjoyed my favorite sort of random moment that made me laugh in this episode is when Chopper has to break into the refinery and he flies over that little gap that exists between the walls, because like, it's like a thing you tried to do in a video game, but it would be like, oh no, we can't let you jump through this. This is clearly like a wall that like you're not supposed to be able to jump through. And I was like, of course you could jump through it. It's just like a gap this big. He's got a rocket on the bottom. Of course he can jump into it.
I enjoyed he was in. I feel like he was not really featured in the previous episode, and this was. For people who haven't watched Star Wars Rebels, this is a classic Chopper behavior where he is just he is all around. He is a very autonomous droid, and he is also a sociopath who will electrocute. I mean, he just seems to have no limitations to his ability. Though he can't disarm the autocannon, in that he disables a droid and then later two clone troopers. And it's just like, how many charges you have to that electric thing you got in there?
As many as he needs.
Yeah. Yeah, as many as he needs. He is a source of chaos and murder.
That was pretty. All the Chopper stuff is great. Hunter killing the probe droid. I literally have no idea how he got above the probe droid, but I loved it. I enjoyed. There's a little bit at the end after when they're saying goodbye to Hera and the Syndulla's, where Wrecker and Omega are high five. Which is random, but I enjoy it. And I liked the weird dynamic between Crosshair and Hauser. Like, they don't really exchange any words, but, like, there's a lot of, like, loaded, like, glaring at each other. And I enjoyed that sort of differentiation between, you know, the clones and the regular clones and Crosshair specifically, who even now is even more, like, unique, if such a thing can be said, amongst the remaining clones. And also just we're seeing more divisions and stuff within the clone army, as we talked about. And part of me wonders if that is sort of stuff that comes back into play with the whole conscripts deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, your clones, they're not nearly as obedient as we had been told. So maybe that's not a huge advantage for us and we don't want to keep churning them out. Or maybe there are more pushback amongst the clones and they cannot, you know, control that either. So I don't know. It could be an interesting direction to go in terms of seeing how does the clone army eventually get sort of demobilized and the stormtroopers take its place.
We have that episode, War Mantle, coming up, where it seems like I mean, because that's the big question. You know, there are no clones of the time of A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
So there are no clones. So it seems like they must get phased out would be a general, like, it seems, yeah. Like, do they all get killed? Do they all get, you know, like, I mean, is there some horrible deactivation suicide mission they all get sent on? Like, they don't let them, like, retire or
they don't get discharged
yeah. or given civilian jobs, right? Like, something happens.
Nobody planned for the clone army pension, right? Like, yeah, there's not a fund set aside for, like, clone troopers in their old age.
No, so something is going to happen where they all I don't know, something horrible is going to happen to them. And, you know, there could be a transitionary period, like, maybe they have to train their replacements, and then something horrible happens to them. Human resources in the Empire is brutal. I enjoyed the Hera and Omega getting to put the plan together and being kind of the lead on the plan. Like, we see a lot of that operation from their perspective, and that seemed there was the, like, Omega shouldn't go on the mission because it's dangerous, we're gonna bring Omega because we don't know what to do elsewise with her, to, you know, Omega is basically a Bad Batch person who happens to be short.
I like that she refers to them all as her brothers. That I think that's the fun dynamic, right? She's like the kid with the four older brothers who are all slightly strange. But I enjoyed the strategic stuff sort of picks up on the thing from a couple episodes ago where we see how good she is at the Djarik game.
Yeah.
And, like, so again, is there something going on with her and her strategy, or is she just picking up being around them and she is sort of, you know, talented in that way? We still don't know.
Yeah, they really backburnered incredibly slow walking what is Omega's secret power, assuming that, you know,
she even has one.
Have a secret power.
Yeah. Right. But with only a couple episodes left, I feel like there's not a lot more time to sort of, like, I don't know, do you spring it, like, in the last episode where it's like, oh, it turns out, I don't know.
And we don't know anything yet about Bad Batch being renewed for a second season. It seems like they've been real quiet about that. I could imagine they might announce something with the final episode in terms of whether it wraps up or continues. And I feel like you never know with Dave Filoni, right? He is happy to take the Star Wars universe in a million directions. He could have four seasons worth of Bad Batch ideas he wants to cover, or he could have, nope, book is closed, we're on to other stuff.
Right. Maybe there's another animated show that picks up where the Bad Batch leaves off. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah,
who knows?
It
feels like two episodes is not a ton to wrap up sort of the arcs of some of these characters.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing that wrap up in 40 minutes. Unless they all tragically die. It does not
feel... That would be a heck of a move.
Yeah. Bad Batch, Admiral Rampart, and Crosshair all go out in one explosion. There must be more coming. So, I don't know. I would be hopeful that they do another season of it. It seems like there is more to do.
I agree. Yeah. I think there is something more to be done here, or at least if they're playing sort of a long game, it seems like that's the kind of thing you set up when you have a couple seasons in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like, all right, we know season one ends here and season two starts here and season two ends here, right? Like, and we know kind of what we're shooting for.
And this is, you know, the Bad Batch is in that's one of the few places in the timeline. There's so many other Star Wars things that are like right before a major event, and this is the exciting right after a major event. Mm-hmm. They could, you know, they could go for a long time if they wanted to. It doesn't have that constraint that the other Star Wars things have happened where it's like, we have, you know, this leads up to A New Hope and not past it.
I mean, it does eventually, but we're still pretty far away from that at this point. I think what was nice about this episode overall for me is it gave a stake for our characters that felt personal and felt emotional. And, like, I think part of what Omega is bringing to this team is not just her strategy, but also sort of an emotional awareness, emotional connection with other people that she's kind of helping the rest of the team figure out. Like, well, we were soldiers and sent on these missions. We did the missions. We went home and the only people we counted on were each other. Like, not even the rest of the clone army particularly cared about us. And now I think it's sort of an encouragement from her to be like, well, there are people outside of our immediate family yeah, that are worth saving and worth helping, maybe there's something there. So I think,
I mean, it's yeah. underscored by the line from Cham's lieutenant when they're rescuing them, like, they're mercenaries, why are they here?
Right,
exactly. They run guns, and it's like, well, we're doing a favor for him.
Yeah, exactly. You we know? Were hired by your kid, but
you know,
gosh, kids today, hiring kids mercenaries today, flying shuttles, you know, you can't leave them alone.
No, it's a complicated world. So
All right, anything else you want to discuss before we wrap up?
No, here? I think this is a fun it was nice to have this kind of nice two-part one, and it seems like there's a lot of places they could go in the next two episodes as we head toward the culmination of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really looking forward to these last couple. I've enjoyed this one a lot. I saw some people calling it the best episode of the season, and I'm other than the first episode, I would say it's definitely in my top, you know, episodes that we've seen so far. It's these two kind of work together nicely. And I realize Hera and Ryloth do a lot of heavy lifting on some of that, but I feel like this episode did a nice job of tying up the threads last time and featuring the Bad Batch more prominently. So, yeah, this was probably the best so far, or at least since the beginning. But we will be back next week to discuss the penultimate, what we assume is the penultimate episode of the season. If you're going to write in and tell us there are 16 episodes, see our note up front. We don't actually know. It claims there are 16 episodes, but we also think that the first one was treated as three separate episodes. So this may in fact be the penultimate episode. It's entitled Infested. So we'll see where that happens. But until then, I would like to, of course, thank my co-host for being here, Tony Sindelar. Always a pleasure.
Goodbye, nerds.
And thank you out there for listening. We appreciate all your support. As our infrequent reminder, we'll just say if you enjoy the show, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I know we had some issues with the most recent episode of the show last week, taking a while to show up. Hopefully that won't happen again, but we appreciate all your support. And of course, to our incomparable members, especially, we really appreciate everything that you do. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week.